The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything that you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure that you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drive so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads, so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. I've been so pumped to take a couple of friends with our road bikes to some of the trails nearby, and now I can bring the entire crew, my dog, and all of our gear with that third row. Learn more about the new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
On this episode of the Heat Check, oh baby, oh no, our Dubs, we gotta talk about them. There is sad news to report, ladies and gentlemen, about a murder, about the death of a dynasty, and it falls on me, Trista Crick, to break the news. We also have the Kimmy of the Week, and he's barely 20, and then we have a special interview with Sports Illustrated's Robin Lundberg. So let's get right into it, Anthony. Drop that motherfucking beat that should be Rihanna. I don't relish in saying this. In fact, it downright hurts to put it into words. But I'm ready to finally make an announcement. The Warriors just might be cooked. This might be their funeral march. I said it! I'll say it. This team is absolutely washed. They are FUBAR, folks. Fucked up beyond all recognition. You may think this is me, but my Chopin is being overly dramatic. Not our dub, lifelong. I will explain clinically, easily why this dynasty is officially dead. And like all dead bodies, like a detective on Fargo with a better accent, I have to find out who the real killer is. What is that? Fortunately, the murderer did it in broad daylight with the world watching. So who killed the warrior? I hate to say it, but the world watched the dynasty die on a random Friday night, I want to say. When Jokic led the Nuggets back from an 18-point deficit in the fourth quarter, and with 2 seconds left to go, he hit a 39-foot contested three to stun everyone, including Steph Curry. Steph Curry was eating his damn, chewing on his damn mouthpiece like he has stunned other people right in cold blood. A man who you would never think. A man who doesn't look like he has it in him. A man who looks like he's more interested in horses. But on Sunday night, the corpse of the Warriors was resurrected only to get murdered again by the Toronto Raptors, blowing them out on their home court again by 15. You don't say, not the Toronto Raptors. No. No, not the kill shot RJ Barrett. He had 37. Golden State can't play any damn defense. Steph went 2 for 14. He went 0 for 9 from 3. Scottie Barnes was strapping that man, and no one else can score. No one else gives Steph the ability to operate. Not even a sliver of daylight on the court. Damn. 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 It's over. Back to the funeral march we go. Let's break it down some more. Let's start with Jonathan Kuminga. He was the first domino. That's the domino Kuminga. That's how we got to Kuminga. He started by pretending he did his best LeBron James impersonation, and he decided he was going to go leak his displeasure of his head coach. Just to the media. Just, hey, I am not happy with how I am being used. My role fucking sucks. And I have no faith in this coach to develop me to a reasonable level of where I should be. That is horrible. I mean, he went straight to athletic, went straight to Shams Charania and was like, hey, I got some things to say about Steve Kerr. Kerr responded saying that he's the most accessible coach in the league. If you got a problem with me, you better come and say it to my fucking face. Come say it. The next domino happened before the first domino, and that was the diagnosis of Chris Paul breaking his goddamn hand. He's been okay for the Warriors. He's been okay. He's a player, though, making $30 million a year for them and is now going to be out 4 to 6 weeks. Woj is reporting his injury won't stop other teams from taking him on a trade. And guess what, baby? All the folks that I know in our dub circle, they think that Chris Paul has played his last game in a Warriors uniform. So that right there is another domino. And next up, another domino is Moses Moody. He must have heard the leaked news because the reps are saying that they are also unhappy with what Moses Moody has got going on with them. He's getting multiple DMPs, getting next to no minutes when he does play. Here's what's being reported. This came out right before Jonathan Kuminga, but these things are getting louder and louder as we go. Warriors GM Mike Dunleavy Jr. has been asked directly about the organization's plan for Moses Moody with the intention of finding him a more consistent role. Basically, hey, are you guys going to do anything with Moses? Like, is there any specific thought into what he has and his role on this team? And the answer is no. Like, the answer is that Moses Moody is being squeezed out, really. Anytime a player plays well, we'll just give their minutes, give them Moses Moody's minutes. At this point, it's important also to look long-term at the causation of this disaster, and that's the two timelines. That's just the two timelines. Golden State drafted three young guns who were supposed to develop along the core, and guess what? They didn't. It was just not a possibility. Wiseman, Kuminga, and Moody. And now their number two, quote-unquote, generational pick was a generational whiff. While their other two lottery picks are, as I've said, very unhappy. Very unhappy with their role. Very unhappy with the coaching. Very unhappy with the rotations. And, oh, by the way, are going to be restricted free agents next year. Not much incentive to stay except for the fact that the Bay is such a beautiful place. Just great food, great women, bad roles, bad rotations, and a toxic situation. Lots of teams are interested in them on their upside. Meanwhile, I am currently watching Bob Myers on television talk about all the players that he has passed on as a GM of the Golden State Warriors. I heard him talk about why he passed on Halliburton. I heard him talk about why he passed on LaMelo Ball to Franz Wagner. It's getting fucking ridiculous here. What is this show? Is it just you talking about all your mistakes you have to atone for every time you do a Warriors game? Because I don't want to hear all that. And I don't think other longtime Dubs fans want to hear all that either. And guess what? Also, Draymond's suspension is now over. It's reported he will need a week to get back into shape. Imagine being out for so long via suspension. Because you cannot keep your hands to yourself, that you need a ramp-up period to get back onto the court. You need a mini-camp to get back onto the court and be able to be informed. That's fucked up.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And we know that Golden State, you know that. I will be known that. The last 32 games that Draymond has played in, what are they? They're 16 and 16. 500 when Draymond is playing. You know what their record is? You know what their record is from the last 24 games when Draymond has missed? 12 and 12. So it doesn't matter if Draymond's going to play the morale for Steph. Be honest, it's just Steph that he's the morale for. He's just not an impactful player right now. So you got two young guns who are disrupted. You got Draymond Green, your transcendent small ball five who changed the way that you guys play basketball. He's not impactful at all. What about the rest? Klay Thompson. Klay Thompson is such a bad vibe, wet blanket right now. He had to have Steve Kerr walk him into his office and be like, yo, can you stop all this bullshit? Can you get yourself into a right headspace? Because you're playing not just for yourself, you're playing for a team. And yeah, we know that your personal accolades right now aren't where you want them to be. But guess what? Yeah, you had two major injuries and you're still playing basketball and you won four rings. So maybe you should just, I don't know, like have an attitude adjustment. Because he's visibly pouting during games. On the court, Klay has been largely terrible. In his last seven games, he's averaged 15-2-3, which is below, obviously, his career average. Despite being tonight, or last night, depending on when you're listening to this, hot as fuck against Toronto, but he's been playing, he's been a cone. He's been just an absolute fucking cone. Andrew Wiggins, another starter, has been a disaster. He's got 119.6. Stat line is 12 points per game. Hold on, let me just go back. 119.6 defensive rating is like Trae Young levels of bad. And this is a guy that you have to strap other guys. That's his main role. Yeah, like he can score, but he's supposed to strap up dudes and get rebounds. 12 points per game, 42% from the field. 42% from the field, 30% from three, and 9% nice from the free throw line. He had 3 points against the Raptors. He was a game high, really a game low, negative 29 in 17 minutes of play. And also, I think it's really funny that Kuminga went out and said, like, why can't me and Moody, or why can't me and Wiggins play together? Why can't we? This is why. Like, you guys are absolutely unplayable together. And Steve Kerr, chestnut checkers, was like, let me just show you. I'll just show the world why I'm not coaching by committee based off of what Jonathan, who, by the way, I just never can get it out of my mind that he took the trophy back to Africa when he was supposed to be back at the Warriors facility. He literally left transcontinental with the trophy. That's the kind of guy that Kuminga is. We don't want him making decisions about his rotations at all. Let's go back to the starters. Kevon Looney, he was so good during the championship run. He was really good in the first round of the playoffs last year against the Kings. I watched him dominate. He's the shadow right now. His scoring, his rebounding are both down 25. His defensive rating has ballooned over 1.2. So I'm telling you, his rating has ballooned to 1.14. And then I'll go back. Andrew Wiggins, 119. Come in and provide calm, poise, this demeanor, be able to handle the rock in crunch time. Because why? Because Jordan Poole could never do that. He was a fucking brain wreck turnover-wise. So you're like, oh, let's flip the pendulum another way. Let's get a guy who's got one of the slowest paces of play in the NBA. Him making $30 million a year. That guy, not just injured, but he's fully rookie. He's fully been on the barbecue for 3 years now. He's currently averaging 9, 4, and 7. Stat line efficiency is not horrible. Chris Paul on this team, can we just say for a second how bad that decision really was? That made no sense. You had to jettison Jordan Poole, by the way. Warriors. I can't make sense of that. Like, you needed to get rid of that. So if you traded for a guy who's been absolutely hibachi for like 36 straight months now. Like, he was not good when I went viral for Sunday. That's like literally one full contract in the middle of my former. The question isn't just bad how bad this team is right now. It's like really how they solve it. What are the options to try to salvage this? A marginal trade for a disgruntled star? I don't like a guy who's probably wanting $40 million a year and is 30 years old and Pascal Siakam? Like, no. And you're not going to include Kuminga in that trade anyway. So that means Masai Ujiri is going to say thank you, no thank you. Trade CP3 for a player like Zach LaVine? Zach LaVine, we know he's not a winning player, but he can get you some buckets. So you're back to the Jordan Poole sort of like model. No shade to Jordan Poole or to Zach LaVine. Or comparing them, but like that's the kind of ilk that he is. That probably is making them dangerous to win maybe a first round series like last year. But neither trade is any fix. What's the other option? To blow it up completely. Let's be real. That's not happening. But let's go through it. You trade Clay. You trade Draymond. You trade Wiggins. Kuminga, you trade Rudy, and which means if you're a rational person, that means Curry's gonna be like Dipset. I'm out of here. I'm not fucking waiting around for this shell of a place to turn. You ripped out the entire garden, and you want me to stick around? That means he's gone. So you can't do that. So rock me, our Dubs fans. As we know, we've had it good. We've had it good. But it at some point, the piper must be paid. And if you look at the current contract status of this roster, I don't know how you can be confident in anybody. Wiggins, he has 3 more years and a player option at 85. Draymond, 3 more years, 1 player option at 75. Steph, 2 years, $116 million. Gary Payton, 1 year, $9 million. Kuminga's on a 1-year deal. He's a restricted free agent. Moody, 1 more year left, $5.8 million. Kevon Looney, 1 year, $8 million. Clay's on an expiring deal. He's an unrestricted free agent. He's probably deucing. Chris Paul, he's getting traded at the deadline. So the only players you really have under contract more than 1 year are Draymond, Wiggins, and Steph. Ooh, not good. Not great, Mr. Dunleavy. Not great. And I said this back when Bob Myers pulled the report and escaped Golden State, like, hey, we should probably look into this. We should probably make some sort of meaning out of that decision, because it's usually the architect of the disaster who jumps into a lifeboat first. They know when it's coming, how it's coming. They designed it. And it's pretty telling to another analogy when a CEO of a seemingly successful company finally just decides, I'm going to cash in my stock options. I'm going to just spend some time thinking and working with family. And like Bob Myers was like, oh yeah, I just want to spend more time with my family. But then all of a sudden he's on ESPN, like NBA countdown every night. So what does Bob Myers know that we don't know? He saw that the building was about to collapse, and he was like, I am fucking out of here. First Myers, probably now Steve Kerr, very unlikely to be back, I would imagine. He may not survive the year the way that things are going. Reddit is trying to get you. They've got their Charlottesville tiki torches out, maybe, and they haven't had those since the Trump administration. Who might be next to jump off the Titanic into a lifeboat? Who, I wonder? Why? It's a pickle of a situation. I tell you what, we can really truly now say there are not any. Right back to the course. And to that I say.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
We're moving on. It's Monday. You know what time it is. It's time for the Hemi of the Week. He is I and I am him. Slim with a tilted rim. He's him. This man is not Slim. This man is a fucking unit. Pause. This week there were a ton of players. Could have taken Anthony Davis, for example. I know that Anthony Davis is playing well and the rest of the team is a steaming pile of dogs, but it's not Anthony Davis. I cannot blame him. This is the only time, probably in Laker history, that Anthony Davis has been on the team that you cannot blame him. 30, 12, and 5. With 59% from the field, nearly five stocks, that steals and blocks, five of them per game in the last week. Incredible stats. The problem, though, the Lakers are 1-5 in that. So no Hemi for Anthony Davis. Another guy that I was looking at closely, begrudgingly for Hemi, is Luka. In his last six games, he's averaged 38-8-10 on 50, 41, and 82. Love it. With 2.9 stocks per game, great defensive numbers for a guy who is usually a turnstile. And the issue, though, is he's already missed two games in that time period, including the one against Portland. So we will wait if he's healthy to give him a Hemi. This week, the Hemi goes to Paolo Banchero. In his last five games, Paolo has averaged, you will not believe it. This is his second year. I can't believe it. Insane 32-9-7 on 46-42-78 shooting scores. This man, Paolo Banchero, cannot jump any higher than a deck of cards, and he is averaging 42% of them. It's happened, folks. Paolo was head and shoulders better than any rookie last year, but he's now broken through the ceiling. This is a superstar. I said it when I saw him in real life. This guy is unlike any human being I've ever seen with my own two eyes. And he is now shooting threes for the first time in his NBA career, which I could feel might come, pause, at the when he played for Duke. The previous 12 games, he was shot three threes a game, and now he's shooting seven threes per game, making them up at a paltry 30%. He is nearly shooting 20% more shots per game, and he is shooting 42% from three. That confidence from deep, you can't stop him now. If he's shooting from three at a high clip, I don't know what you do with that. The best part, though, is that the Magic are really good. They are currently a half game behind the limping Miami Heat, and the rumor is that they want to bring in a veteran presence with Malcolm Brogdon, as if they need more guards. They do not. To help babysit, we're absolutely dangerous. They've got matches, and they are going to set things on fire. That's how dangerous they are. Also, in their OT win over the Hawks on Sunday, Caleb Houston, who's been, I don't know, nowhere, played for Michigan, he had some nice little threes in the summer league. He is now getting his first start of the career. What did he do? 25-4, casual. The Magic are very, they are very athletic. They are very impressive. And Paolo is the unquestioned leader. Love this for Paolo. Love this for the league. And he is just only showing what he can do. So he is I and I am him. Slim with the tilted brim. He's him. We end the show with a special interview with Sports Illustrated's Robin Lundberg. Robin joined my show Bet MGM tonight, which airs 7 to 11 Eastern Standard Time, Monday through Friday. I was joined by my co-host, Nick Ashew, and my friend, that little motherfucker, PJ Glasser. Let's listen in. Very few people in the league see it like Robin.
When you see this, when you hear these stories, do you look at this and say, okay, it's a team that's struggling a little bit and this is what's coming out? Or does it feel like it's maybe something bigger, like the Darvin Ham era is, crazy enough, already unraveling in L.A.?
Well, I mean, look, they won the in-season tournament. There's right. a banner and everything. So why are we worried about this right now? You know, I said it at the time and I was only half joking that LeBron and the Lakers need to go as hard as they possibly can for the in-season tournament because, you know, they are – their roster is not that talented from top to bottom when you look at it. They really don't have shooting. They've got Torian Prince playing minutes, guys like that out there playing minutes. LeBron is the oldest player in the league. Anthony Davis, you know, has the street clothes meme going on for him. So counting on those guys to not only be healthy in the playoffs is enough, but also counting on the rest of that talent around them being enough is too much. So I really did think going for the in-season tournament was a really good idea for them. But yeah, I mean, I think once you start seeing stuff like this from Shams and the like, there is smoke to that fire. They've been in a bit of a tailspin. And we all know the coach is always the easy scapegoat. You know, Rob Lowe, I mean, Rob Pelinka ain't going to get canned, you know, in the middle of the season right now. So it's clearly there's some disconnect, some discontent going on with that team. I mean, it goes back to Austin Reeves and even reports of him having friction with Darvin Ham. And he's probably the third best player on that team. So, yeah, I think the Lakers do have legitimate issues. And roster construction, aside from rotation, is one of them.
Yeah, I think Jeannie is a big part of that, too. Unfortunately, hiring a lot of her friends. I know Linda Rambis is, like, making calls. And, like, I think she was a Laker girl back in, like, the Showtime era. And then her and Kurt just kind of hung around. Emmanuel, quickly, though, near and dear to my heart, Sixth Man of the Year candidate. He probably should have won it last year. He goes to Toronto, probably going to get the absolute bag. He goes crazy in his starting role, 26 points. How do you think he and RJ affect Toronto moving forward?
Well, quickly needed that sort of change in scenery, I think, because of the conflict with Brunson. I mean, through no fault of his own, those two guys just play the same position. And Brunson is really good. You know, Brunson, aside from his height, it doesn't really get enough credit for what he's actually done with the Knicks and in the league at this point. So quickly was never going to get all the way off the leash with the Knicks just because of that position fit and the fact that you couldn't play those two guys together. So I like that look for Toronto there. RJ Barrett was never that much of an impact player for the Knicks, but maybe back home in Canada, he played well for the national team as well. You know, it's just the kind of thing, perhaps a change of scenery, less expectations will help him out. So Toronto was going really nowhere. There was no reason for them not to take a swing at something that could stick. And it looks so far like the move has been a good fit.
And then on the other side, Robin, I mean, from the Knicks perspective, did you like them trading for OG? And then do you think like the Knicks finally have enough now for them to go out in the offseason and attract one of these big free agents?
You know, I think I like the move quite a bit, actually, because like I just said, that they needed that wing position. Mm-hmm. They had quickly giving them a glut at that guard spot. Now maybe they need a backup there. I think they could use an upgrade at shooting guard. But they had Brunson, they had Randall, OG goes in between. And that's a good fit for them. As far as a big star, I mean, we're almost like trained with muscle memory to do these same exercises in the NBA. You know, they need to get the guy. They got to go get the guy to make the move. I don't know if that's the way that the league is constructed anymore. Every super team that's put together fails now.
Yes.
You know, everyone falls apart at the seams. We're already like talking about the demise of the Phoenix Suns. They were just put together. So I don't think we're in that era anymore. In fact, I think one thing, I mean, look at the odds right there on my screen. Look how close and bunched up a lot of those teams are. None of those are super teams per se. I mean, obviously Milwaukee now has Giannis and Dame. The Celtics have a bunch of guys. But the Heat were in the finals a year ago. No one's calling them a super team. Plus 1,500 looks pretty good to me, given their recent history. So I think the NBA has done a good job at developing parity in a certain sense where we're now in a world where the Oklahoma City Thunder are all of a sudden contenders. The Minnesota Timberwolves are all of a sudden contenders. You probably could list off 6-8 teams who realistically could at least be in the mix. So I don't think the Knicks have to go out there and land the biggest fish possible. I think they have to continue to build on their roster and improve their personnel because they aren't that far away. I mean, the Heat I just mentioned were in the finals last year. The Knicks went 6 games with them last season without these moves. So I think they keep making those moves around the margins, they could be right in the mix.
Yeah, where do the Knicks stack up to you then? I mean, we haven't seen much, obviously, with this new roster and the way that it's constructed yet. But the East, I mean, I'm looking here. We got the Magic, the Cavs, and the Knicks all sitting there at 19 and 15. And again, look, we got a long season ahead of us. The Magic could fall off, although we've all sat here and talked about how much we like the Magic coming into the season anyway. So fingers crossed it doesn't have, you know, we've got a few bets on that division winner. But like, it feels like right now we haven't gotten to the point where a lot of teams have truly separated themselves besides maybe a Boston, but we found moments where Boston's incredibly frustrating too. Like, I kind of feel like the Knicks are in a spot where they could easily climb back up to like maybe around like the 4 spot, maybe surpass the Pacers because they're kind of up and down. It's just everything feels very, very wide open right now.
Yeah, man, that was what I was just saying. I think the Knicks are probably the 5th best team in the conference. You know, looking at it on paper, given the Heat, the pedigree points, given Boston and Milwaukee the edge, and then Phillies look really good. That's another team, sneaky team around the deadline. You know, Daryl Morey's always been very aggressive. One move could really put the Sixers over the top, though. I'm not a big believer in Embiid when it comes to the postseason just because he's usually broken down around that point in time, and he doesn't get the same calls. Generational flopper for a big man. But, you know, when the reffing gets a little tighter. But I'd say the Knicks are right in that group of teams. Again, they were there last year. My stock line used to be that the Knicks have won one playoff series since I graduated from high school. That is no longer true because they won a playoff series a year ago. So that's now 2 playoff series since I graduated from high school. And if they could win a playoff series, who's to say they can't win 2 with a slight improvement like they just made? I wouldn't be shocked if the Knicks are in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Especially now that they have some guys, or at least a guy in OG and Anobi, who's a really good corner catch-and-shoot, 3-point shooter. We saw what happened against the Miami Heat when they stopped being able to score from deep. They just packed the paint on them. I do want to get your thoughts on the Brooklyn Nets. And I know it's not a sexy team to talk about, but they're fascinating because they're hanging around. They have reasons to compete. I mean, you would imagine they don't own their own draft picks due to the trades that they've made. And yet, they seem already to be punting on the season, especially that game right around the Christmas break against Milwaukee, where Jacques Vaughn sat everyone for absolutely no reason against a packed house.
That was the move a contender makes, which was strange. You know, the reason that game stood out was Mikal Bridges. Game would not have been talked about the same way if it wasn't for Bridges' streak, because we see teams rest guys all the time. Now, usually it is a team that plans to be playing late into the spring and into the early summer, and that's not going to be the Brooklyn Nets. But they sat everybody but Cam Thomas and Bridges. Bridges obviously played because of his streak and then didn't go back into the game. That was what was so curious about it and really so infuriating if you're rooting for the team, because it was a winnable game. And then it's hard for Jacques Vaughn to get up there and go, you know, we got to dive on the floor. We got to make all these hustle plays when you totally give up on a game. So I don't think they're punting the season because of that. I think they were expecting to then win the next game against the Wizards. But their season has gone to a tailspin since then. They haven't won a game since then. They lost to the Wizards, who obviously they should beat. They lost to the Rockets last. They look lifeless. They look soulless right now. And they're stuck in a nebulous area because, like you said, Trista, they don't have their own draft pick. So there's no incentive to tank right now. At the same time, they're clearly not contenders, and their best assets are down the line. Like, I'm a fan of the Kevin Durant trade. All things considered, once that red button is pushed, you're forced into making a move. I thought they did as well as you possibly could, getting Bridges and Johnson back, not to mention four first round picks, pick swaps, whatever the rest of that package was. And if you look at the way Phoenix is constructed, very good chance they are bad when those picks come due. But they're still paying the debt on the Harden trade to Houston. They owe their pick to Houston this year. So you make the argument, I suppose, sell off everything and just try to get as many assets back, but that's probably not helping you in the short term. I think most likely they're keeping what they consider their core pieces, the twins. I don't know what the organization thinks about Cam Thomas because he's weirdly been jerked around where he's not starting, then he's starting, then he's not starting, then he's getting pulled after struggling a little bit when really you should be developing somebody like him over Spencer Dinwiddie, I guess, even though, Thomas has his flaws, but maybe they view him as a trade chip. I'm curious to see where they go, if they make a desperate move at the deadline or if they make more like marginal moves like trading Dinwiddie, who's an expiring, trading Claxton, who's an expiring, trading guys like Royce O'Neal and Dorian Finney-Smith, who might have value to contenders and not value to them right now, and still trying to build around those guys who are in their late 20s on good contracts.
Robin, what about the Grizzlies? Obviously now with Ja Morant back, they're playing a lot better. They're 5.5 games behind the Lakers for that 10 seed in the play-in game if that were to happen today. I think the tough thing with the Grizzlies for me, it's like if they end up making like a 9 or 10 seed, like who's the team that they would replace? But do you think maybe they're worth a bet long-term with Ja back now in the fold?
Hold on, I got to check my receipts and see what they say. I keep them. I still don't know what Ja Morant was talking about. Did anybody ever say he wasn't a good basketball player? I don't know what the case was. It's tough in the West and with all those teams bunched up when you start in that kind of hole. Now, the play-in tournament changes the whole game in a sense, because we were just talking about the Nets, and the Nets are what, 5 games under 500 right now, but still in the play-in tournament, right? So your life raft is a lot longer nowadays. It's not like Leonardo DiCaprio from the Titanic. You're not getting kicked off that little piece of wood and sinking to the bottom of the ocean. You can hang on and cling on for longer, but I think that the Grizzlies started in a little bit too much of a hole to really get up there with
them. Got about a minute or so left here. We were talking about the Warriors earlier, 16-17. Draymond's going to be back with them soon. I mean, clearly they've gotten older. This is what happens with great teams. It's just the way the NBA works. Are they still a playoff team in your eyes? Are they just a play-in team in your eyes at this point? Because I feel like it's still really hard to write them off just given the history of this team.
Yeah, I think they're right on that bubble, 7, 8, 9, 10. But Steph Curry is, it's funny, all the Steph LeBron talk over the years, because now Curry is in the position LeBron was once in, where he's actually, of all the superstars in the league, probably asked to do more than anybody else when it comes to singularly carrying a team. Klay Thompson's not the same player he once was. Draymond Green can't stop choking people or, doing whatever he's doing to get himself suspended. Who else is on? Wiggins was benched. I mean, they got, Kuminga guy, little nice pieces, but they don't have another scorer, really. They don't have consistent secondary production, third production point-wise. A lot of that's coming from Steph. So I really just don't think they have the horses anymore to get it done.
Yeah, it's crazy, but all good things come to an end in the NBA, as we've seen. Robin Lundberg, SI Now. Appreciate
Thanks,
the time,
brother.
Man. Thanks for coming on.
You got it. You remember, everybody who talks about Michael Jordan never losing, when his dynasty ended, he quit to go play baseball.
Exactly. He dodged all the criticism. He knew what the damn legacy was going to be. It's a smart move. Thanks,
running
Robin.
From the grind.
he did. He played baseball, came back, team was looking good again, and then you know what? Like, nobody ever talks about Jordan and the Wizards, by the way. Let's just bring that up. I remember those days.
Kelvin Johnson balling.
Yeah. Yeah, he's having himself a night. I watched the Spurs and I'm like, why aren't they better? Like, they have some talent. It's 93 all.
I got you, Tristan.
He's on a nationally televised game.
Girl, 11th.
Going after Giannis. It's BetMGM tonight.
That's all the time that we have for the Heat Check. Thanks to Robin and the gang at BetMGM tonight. Come back tomorrow for an all-new episode, The Rookie Report, and check out the feed for past episodes and mini episodes, which drop unexpectedly, like your new neighbor stopping by out of nowhere or me stopping by their house out of nowhere. Do not forget to follow the Heat Check as we navigate the new NBA season. Not really new anymore. That means download, subscribe. Please tell your friends, everyone, enemies, neighbors, like slightly neighbors, even the guy on Facebook selling a couch who cannot get to his storage facility until right before your show starts. Tell him, hey, you know you're late for work, but go and listen to this podcast. And it laps. Follow us on social at this Heat Check and at Tristan Crick on Twitter and Instagram. Thank you.